Red State Talk Radio.
Here are Obama and the Democrats who mocked the Bush administration for unilateral intervention in Iraq, where he had a coalition of almost 50 countries, and he can't get 1.5. So he had to have the Congress. That's the reason he did that switch in the end. He knew how alone he was and how he needed to cover. This is a cynical exercise in political cover, and the language he offered McCain that everybody approved is simply language. It will have no effect on the policy, and I think it's a sop that is not worth the words, the ink it's written with.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Doc White here, your humble host of the Conservative Underground. Proud to be humble, common man, common sense, taking on all the issues of the day with an unapologetic, true conservative approach. Proud Reagan conservative, charter member of the great silent majority, and fighting against the loony left in their efforts to move this republic closer to a Euro-style, socialistic, bankrupted state, no doubt about it. A lot to talk about on this broadcast. This is the Tuesday, September the 17th, 2013 show. Sit back and relax. I will do all of the work right here on this excellent edition of the Conservative Underground, broadcasting live from picturesque Broadcast Park, perched underneath in a secure bunker in beautiful Studio A, joined by my chief of staff, my deputy chief of staff, and you. Thank you very much. You know, I was listening to the 405 radio this morning. Oops. Yeah, I was listening to the 405 radio this morning on TuneIn Radio. I'm not sure if anyone out there has visited TuneInRadio.com, but it's a cool place for most everything. You can access radio stations from all around. It's kind of like iHeartRadio, that's right. And you can access radio stations from all around the country, and also internet-based radio stations like Red State Talk Radio that I was a part of for many years, and 405 Radio as well. And when I was listening online, I found a good podcast called Cold War Radio. I linked the website on my website for the show, conservativeunderground1776.blogspot.com. Some good commentary from yesterday's show, specifically on the Navy Yard shooting. We might add them to the blog roll if they pass muster. Whoa, wait a minute. No. Yeah, that was an O sound. Yeah, that's big news. Might add them to the blog roll. You know, I guess you have to start asking yourself, do you really trust the Obama administration? And that's an honest question, and I don't just say this to try to pull some political spin. I think that's an honest question that we have to ask ourselves. Do you trust the Obama administration? And I want to bring something to your attention. There is a little thing called amnesty that's lurking about. Immigration reform, I guess, is what they're calling it. And it makes for a nice distraction for the Obama administration, from Benghazi to IRS to phone records of journalists and everyday Americans. You can literally take a dart and throw it at a dartboard and hit some sort of scandal that you've posted on the board. It's not difficult. And I bring this immigration reform up because it's out there. And I want you all to focus in on that. The president is out there talking about that this is an issue that the vast majority of Americans want addressed. We're not really talking about it right now. And that's usually when bad things happen to liberty and freedom from the politicians in Washington, D.C. Well, the president thinks that a vast majority of Americans want that issue addressed. But when you take into account that the unemployment rate is pretty high, and that in every opinion poll that's done on Americans, the economy is their number one concern, one could say it's a little bit of wishful thinking on the president's part. Again, a nice distraction. The president was out pushing for the Senate's Gang of Eight immigration bill, which is an amnesty bill. The president has called that bill, claimed that the bill there would, quote, continue to strengthen security at our borders, unquote. Simply not the case. Why isn't it the case? Well, it puts amnesty before securing the border. And the lawmakers have made numerous promises after promises and have attempted to amend the legislation to try to convince us or fool us that this is strengthening our borders. Well, what we do know is that the bill does a lot of things. The bill does a lot of things, but strengthen the borders. I guess I didn't, did I even load that up? Well, we usually take a, oh, here it is. I don't have my card. let's get the show started here on some kind of note. So, I don't have my card with me of where the sound clips are loaded into the program here, the podcast program, and the buttons that I have to press from F1 all the way down the line to F2. So I'm kind of guessing where some of the more consistent sound clips are housed as to where they're at. And this should be a fun show. But I don't want to lose focus here as we start this broadcast out. You have this big issue out there, immigration reform, and no one's really talking about it because we've got the president's screw up on Syria. We've got this naval yard tragedy, the shooting in the Washington Naval Yard. And, we're seeing now the debt ceiling increase debate, the continuing resolution for the United States federal government's budget now being part of the conversation. And we can't forget that earlier this year, the Senate passed an immigration reform bill. That is amnesty. And you have to ask yourself the question is, do you trust this administration? The president claims that this bill would strengthen our security and at our borders. It does not do that. Lawmakers have attempted to add amendments to the legislation to back that up. They fall short as well. What we do know is that the bill does give federal agencies more power. Over at the Heritage Foundation, James Carafano has revealed that in this Senate bill, quote, this bill lavishes billions of additional spending on the Homeland Security Department with no clear requirements on how the money is spent. At least $2 billion could legitimately be labeled the secretary's slush fund. So that's nothing new. I mean, what do you think the stimulus was passed in 2009 in breakneck speed, a $1 trillion package? It had very little restrictions on it, couldn't really account for where all the money was going, and it was basically, at the end of the day, a slush fund for the president himself. The president's out there claiming that anyone who stands against his immigration agenda is just trying to, quote, stoke fear and create division. Those are the people that are against amnesty first, something that we've tried before and it's failed in, made problems worse. But really, because of these other things going on, the president's asking us to just trust him again. Congress is saying we'll pass it and find out what's in it, basically, without saying it. But really, the bottom line is that the Obama administration has already stoked plenty of fear in Americans. Right now, Americans fear Obamacare and its impact on seniors, its impact on our states, its impact on our health or current health plans. They fear being targeted by the Internal Revenue Service, and they fear that the Obama administration could be digging into their phone calls. And there's the president and his allies all saying, trust us. Trust this comprehensive immigration legislation that gives sweeping powers to more federal agencies, more federal bureaucrats, and that everything will work smoothly. And granting amnesty before securing our borders will somehow solve this problem. Well, that old dog just ain't going to hunt again. And I simply ask you, what do you think about that? Benghazi, IRS, phone records on journalists, phone records on everyday Americans, emails, scandal after scandal, embarrassment after embarrassment on the foreign stage, debt ceiling, the continuing resolution on our finances for this nation at the end of the month. All of these things, it is a banana republic house of cards that the Obama administration has built, and then here they are again. Just trust us on immigration reform. Well, I want you to know, you got to hold your feet to the fire for these politicians, and don't forget about that immigration bill, because you'll be sitting at home one day, and all of a sudden you'll find out that it's going to be up for a vote in the House of Representatives, and you're going to be sitting there going, how the hell did this happen? Well, just remember old Doc White told you. Keep it on your radar. So now regarding Syria, and I want to throw in Lurch, a.k.a. John Kerry. As I said on yesterday's broadcast, President Obama looks like a total failure on this entire episode. And I talked to you about how at the barbershop the other day that I mentioned it that would be unthinkable 30 years ago for the Russian president to make more sense than the American president. But, you know, that's the case that we find ourselves in right now. Obama really backed himself up into a corner over this red line comment, and he didn't have the stones or the support to back it up. And we don't even know who really set those chemical weapons off. Could have been Bashar Assad, could have been Al-Qaeda. Either way, the case hasn't been made to get involved in an internal civil war. And you don't go around half-assing U.S. military involvement. You don't ball-tap a jerk like Assad. You cut his nuts off. That is part of, maybe not in those terms, but Ronald Reagan's rules for military action. Ronald Reagan had four simple rules for military action. And here they are. I'm going to briefly run them down. And you apply this standard to what you know thus far on this Syrian engagement. Now, I know that the president and John Kerry and his whole entire foreign policy team, which looks like a bunch of bumbling impersonators of the Marx Brothers, they sort of back their way into an out, but not a very good out of this, brink of attack. You know, Putin came in and seized on John Kerry's gaffe that if he just simply turned the weapons over, all would be forgiven, or we would begin to look the other way. So the threat of a military strike, which I contend probably would never have happened in the first place, is sort of off the table right now. But it's important to kind of go through the Reagan rules for military action and see if Obama even made his case. So rule number one, the United States should not commit its forces to military actions overseas unless the cause is vital to our national interests. Has the president made that case to the American people, international community, the Congress of all places? That is Syria a cause vital to our national interests? Reagan rule number two, if the decision is made to commit our forces to combat abroad, it must be done with the clear intent and support to win. And that's where I come across with this. You don't ball tap Assad. You get rid of him. You blow it up. You blow up the entire regime. You don't half-ass military action. When we go in, the world's going to know we're there to win it. It should not be a halfway or a tentative commitment. There must be a clearly defined and realistic objectives. That clearly has not been done in Syria. There are no objectives. There's nothing, the Kerry's out there talking about these attacks would be unbelievably small. Rule number three, before any troops are committed to combat, there must be reasonable assurance that the cause we are fighting for and the actions we take will have the support of the American people and Congress. Well, poll after poll indicates the American people are not for this action. And my guess is, had the gaffe not occurred by John Kerry, had Putin not seized on that gaffe, and had the administration not found a way out, though not a good way out, not a saving grace type of moment, this use of force resolution would have failed in the House and probably would have failed in the Senate. So he would not have had the support of Congress. Yet, President and Secretary of State Lurch Kerry walked around pounding their chest and saying, well, we'll just attack without the use of force resolution. We don't really need it. That's not sound policy. Rule number four, after all these other tests are met, our troops should be committed to combat only as a last resort when no other choice is available. And clearly in Syria, we're not at that last resort stage yet. And clearly those first three tests haven't even been met. So rule four doesn't even come into play. So when you kind of take a grown-up's approach here, as Ronald Reagan typically did to governing and leading, when you apply these leadership principles, you can just see how haphazard this whole Syrian thing has been handled. And really, you shouldn't be surprised. Because look at who's leading the effort, Barack Obama, a community organizer. Look at who he has as his Secretary of State. We'll get to that in a minute. Look who's his National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, who pulled off a full Ginsburg after Benghazi and lied to the American people with doctored up talking points, blaming a YouTube video. Bumbling bureaucratic buffoon after bumbling bureaucratic buffoon at the State Department leads us to this haphazard foreign policy, which has given us, which has taken us to the brink of a military strike on a sovereign nation without clear cause and objectives, and a commitment to see it through, and risking an international incident in the process. That's the Obama foreign policy. CYA, make Obama look good. And then a lot of people say he got lucky. I think the American people got lucky that John Kerry stuck his foot in the mouth. Now, on to this John Kerry. Now, you got to laugh at John Kerry. This man is a total fool. Now, remember, this is the guy who went to Congress during Vietnam, called Genghis Khan Genghis Khan. I mean, who says Genghis Khan? And after looking stupid for not being able to pronounce a guy's name, that's a historical figure that a lot of people, especially of his intellect, alleged, would be exposed to in schools, he proceeded to lie about the conduct of the United States troops that he served with in Vietnam. And after tossing them under the bus in front of the American people, he used it to advance his political career. That's who the Secretary of State is. That's who John Kerry is. So I think all of you need to kind of take all that in. And take what I've just talked about, these first two topics. Trusting this administration with all of these scandals and all of these gaffes and all of this record of failure on immigration reform. Can you trust them on that now when they're asking us to basically trust us again? And then on Syria. Can we trust this administration to do the right thing there when the record clearly shows that we can't? So ask that question with all of this stuff going around. Can you trust these people? Obamacare, you can't trust them. It's a disaster. The economy, it's a disaster. So when we begin to move forward and talk about the next big stories that are coming up, and I'm going to tell you what those are, it's going to be a debate around raising the debt ceiling, that is for those in King County, Washington, increasing the amount of money that the federal government can borrow to continue its spending binge, and at the same time, at the end of September, the fiscal year ends for the United States government, and either we got to pass a budget, which it doesn't look like we're going to do, or we have to pass a continuing budget resolution that keeps the government open and funded for a specific period of time while Congress tries to get its act together again. Those are the choices before us. to trust this administration on immigration and on handling these fiscal issues when the record shows we can't. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conservative Underground.
How will you know? Smoke and heat build quickly, making every second count. A working smoke alarm can alert you to the danger and make the difference between life and death. Install and maintain a smoke alarm on every level of your home. Replace the battery every year. This message is brought to you by the United States Fire Administration, your local fire department, and this radio station.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Power outages and flooding can cause electrical hazards. Never touch a down power line or anything in contact with one. If a power line falls on your car, remain inside, unless the car catches fire or authorities tell you to get out. Do not touch a person who has been electrocuted without making sure the person is no longer in contact with the electrical source. To learn more, call CDC at 800-CDC-INFO.
Sometimes, when you return from a deployment, you bring back more than you can carry on your own. You may come back to more than you think you can handle. Whether you're feeling depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, Military Pathways can help lighten your load. Through our anonymous online self-assessment, Military Pathways can help you get a clearer picture of how you're feeling and whether you could benefit by talking to a healthcare professional. As you transition from the front lines to the home front, help can be a click away. Visit steptohealing.org for your free anonymous online screening. Military Pathways. Take the first step to healing.
You're listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc White. Feel free to email me your pithy comments at conservativeunderground1776@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter. The handle's pretty simple. It's at Doc White, W-Y-T-H-E. We'll be back with more here on the broadcast, on this podcast, your podcast, the Conservative Underground.
The mall sure is busy today. Okay, what's on my list? Birthday present for Beth, stop at the electronics store, and then grab a quick bite. Did that guy leave his shopping bag? Looks like there's a package inside, covered in duct tape. Did he leave it on purpose? That can't be right.
Excuse me, security? I just noticed that there's a shopping...
We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
This is Sheriff Buford P. Justice of Texas.
Texas? You know, of course, that you're out of your jurisdiction. I suggest that you let my department handle the situation.
That's very comforting. But I'm in a high-speed pursuit. Don't you hear good?
I hear perfectly. The fact that you are a sheriff is not germane to the situation.
The goddamn Germans got nothing to do with it.
What do you say?
Shut up one shit at a time.
All right.
Smokey and the Bandit, that's where that comes from. I love doing these little movie quotes, and up next is Cheers, and I think Archie Bunker. Stay tuned. Conservative Underground, we'll be right back.
Hey, Sam, hey, back from the Denise Decathlon, huh? Got another gold medal in the broad jump?
Yeah, you got a big mouth, Clayton.
Hey, happens to be right, you know. Yeah, it's a genetic quirk in the... Clavin family that we all have two extra teeth. Hey, you see, that's the only way that we can prove that we are the rightful heirs to the Russian throne.
Hello in there, Cliff. Tell me, what color is the sky in your world?
Mr. Kroger, two C's, two D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class. Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Welcome back to the show. That was Animal House, not Archie Bunker. I think we'll hear that in the next break. You're listening to the Conservative Underground here. thanks for being a part of the broadcast here. You know, Stephen Hawking is starting to sort of piss me off these days. Apparently, he was asked to travel to Israel for some sort of smart people convention or conference or whatever. And then he canceled after he was informed by the Palestinian academics, by some sort of group, Palestinian academics. That's kind of funny in and of itself. That there was some sort of boycott placed on Israel and that he should respect that boycott and stay away. Now, I haven't had a chance to read into this, but apparently the group of Palestinians and others, sympathizers around the world, have issued some sort of boycott on Israel for whatever particular reason. I mean, Archbishop Desmond Tutu is out there saying that the international community should treat Israel like they did the South African apartheid governments. Jimmy Carter's doing his best to kind of catch up to that. It's quite amazing that people from around the world would treat America's number one ally in a region, probably number two or three ally overall in the world, and our only democracy surrounded by oppressive regimes and terrorists in the region in such a manner. So I was reading this National Review article by Mona Charon, Stephen Hawking's Moral Calculus. Now, Hawking's acquiesced to this request from these Palestinian academics to stay out of Israel and not participate in this conference. So this article got me going on this, and there's a link over on my website, conservativeunderground1776.blogspot.com. Apparently, Hawking's won't travel to Israel, but in the 1970s made a trip to the Soviet Union at a time when the regime there was hauling off scientists that they disagreed with to the gulags, political dissidents to Siberia to the gulags, rounding up those that the Communist Party felt were threats to their existence and shuttling them off to parts unknown, never to be seen or heard from again, kind of like what North Korea does to people. You know, people just, you know, in North Korea, and in a lot of communist countries, if you don't show up one day, it's just life goes on. There's no plea for help find my missing child because everybody knows one of a couple of things probably happened. Either the government kidnapped this person for whatever reason it wanted to and sent him off to a slave labor camp, or the person died of starvation or government assassination. We really live in a sheltered world here in this country. We're spoiled with our freedoms and our economic freedoms and political freedoms, but this is an exception, if we're even allowed to say that. America is an exceptional nation in that respect from those around the world, because many people don't enjoy the freedoms that we do here. Then Stephen Hawking in 2007 went to Iran. Now, there's a country deeply committed to human rights. So Hawking is certainly in the running for this week's Toolbox of the Week award. This is a smart guy. Has some screwed up views on religion and politics, as far as I could tell, but that certainly is his right. However, siding with a group of people who oftentimes look the other way, at best, when Israelis are being murdered in the name of the so-called religion of peace is injudicious, and especially for, it's inexcusable for a man of his intellect. Now, here's a media bias alert. Back to the Navy Yard shootings. And I spotted this story over on CNN today, and I tweeted about this. Actually got a retweet. So, terms in social media these days are kind of funny. Twitter, retweet, hashtag, Facebook, poke, like. All these things are kind of funny. But I was reading this story on CNN's website, and this story is an admittal that the initial reports about the Navy Yard shooter using an AR-15 was in error. Now, this gun, the AR-15, this is the main gun that liberals want banned. This is the root of all of our problems in this country, is the existence of this gun. And if this gun were to be eliminated, along with a few others, and other modifications and gun registries, but mainly this gun, if this gun was to be eliminated, all of our problems would somehow go away. But then in this report that admitted that the media got it wrong when it claimed that some law enforcement official stated that the shooter used an AR-15, admitting that that was wrong, of course the media is going to run with that because they're the enablers for the liberal agenda in this country. As I call it, the liberal media government complex. All three working together to promote, you know, I guess I'll be nice about it and say progressivism, but it's socialism. But then in the same report, and now this is rich, the report lists instances where that gun was used in mass shootings. An AR-15, it talked about Newtown, it talked about the Aurora theater shooting. What does that have to do with the price of milk? What does any of that have to do with the Naval Yard shootings? Well, you know, it's as if you can hear these pencil neck liberals in the newsroom saying, you know, well, not this time, damn it, but look at all these other times. But for those of you out there, this is what liberal media bias looks like. You don't think that there's bias in the news media? Well, here it is. Now, if you only take time to read one thing today, then you need to go over to National Review Online. Yes, still go to National Review Online. Well, actually, let me just mention this. I want to get back to this Naval Yard shooting. But if you read only one thing today, you need to read the story from Charles Cook on National Review Online. It's a must read. And it is a story about how every time something bad happens in this country, we react to a default position that is get government involved. And Cook calls it the dumb first approach. And it gets better from there. And you think about it, every time something bad goes wrong, there's a natural disaster. Do we look to ourselves? Do we look to our communities, our neighbors for help? No, it's a mad clarion call, sometimes incoherent, that government needs to step in and just do something. Solve our problems. The dumb first approach. Charles Cook, National Review Online. The article is linked on my webpage, conservativeunderground1776.blogspot.com, in the rundown section where this podcast is located. So check that out. It's certainly worth your time. Now, back to this Naval Yard shooting. A lot of details are coming out. And I just want to say my initial reaction was, before seeing a picture of the suspect, before hearing the suspect's name, but my initial reaction was that this is some sort of, you know, terrorist attack on the country. You know, a la Fort Hood, which is a terrorist attack despite the Obama administration's best efforts not to, to label it that. What it is, and especially when, you know, reports came out about there were multiple gunmen and that they were running loose, and that hearkened images of the Boston bombing, marathon bombing, which that was a domestic terrorist attack because these people had sympathies towards radical Islam and terrorist organizations. They were indoctrinated. Now, looks like, now it appears, and I just want everyone to realize that there still is this call from Al-Qaeda for Americans or people in their terrorist cells, which are located in this country right now, perhaps maybe even your community, to launch small-scale attacks on the country, much like what we saw in Fort Hood, much like what we saw in Boston, much like what happened in the Naval Yard shooting, though that doesn't appear to be terrorists. But there is this call out there from Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations around the world to do this kind of thing. And I don't know what Al-Qaeda's footprint is in Thailand, but this guy was the shooter, was in Thailand for a long time. Now, he's a Buddhist. Buddhists are pretty peaceful people. They're certainly not militant like the radical Islamist terrorists, Al-Qaeda sort of people. But I'm just going to say that that's out there. But it does appear from all accounts that this gunman was treated, this gunman had some sort of mental illness. I think he may have been paranoid schizophrenia. He was allegedly hearing voices. This guy allegedly was fearful that there were people all around him, imaginary people, but he saw people that were trying to shoot him with microwaves. Radioactive waves. His father is quoted as saying they could have stopped this. The Navy had not declared him mentally unfit. The shooter sought help weeks before the shooting. And we know that he was treated by the United States government for serious mental illnesses. And all of this leads me to believe, and as I tweeted out earlier today, that folks in this country that are talking about guns right now and never let a good crisis go to waste, that's, you know, even the Fonz, Henry Winkler is out there talking about how this is an opportunity to now reinvigorate the debate on more gun control. I don't know how relevant Henry Winkler, a.k.a. the Fonz, is to the political debate in this country. My guess is he shouldn't be very relevant, though I thought this guy jumped the shark 25 years ago, but he's now out there. All of the useful idiots are chiming in, the B team, wave one, to get people talking and to interject a narrative in our society. They're doing their business, their talking points. But it appears to me that these folks should be more concerned with registering and identifying people who are hearing voices and think they're being attacked by imaginary people with radioactive microwaves than those who are law-abiding, legal gun owners. We should be looking at those who are clearly mentally unstable and seeing to it that they get help and that they're taken out of a situation that where they could harm people, harm themselves. That should be the focus, not nationwide gun registries, not restrictions on guns that are available, because clearly the common thread here is mental illness. The guy that shot Gabby Giffords was off his rocker. He was worshiping Satan in the backyard in a dark trench coat with 90 degree weather at high noon digging holes in the backyard. That's not normal behavior. The nut that shot up the Aurora Theater, he was mentally unstable. The kid that shot up Newtown Elementary School, Sandy Hook, was mentally unstable. For crying out loud, the individuals who have assassinated or attempted to assassinate several American presidents were mentally unstable, some driven by political ideology and left-wing political ideology at that. But some of the common threads here are the people that are creating this mass, death tolls and incidents are mentally unstable. Well, that's just me. That to me is where the debate should be. That to me is where we should be focusing, so we can get people help and help that they need. Charles Krauthammer on Fox Report tonight brought up good points that a guy like this shooter would have been identified 30 years ago and given drugs. And we'll be right back.
The
Conservative
sound of
Underground.
Working smoke alarm. Those with special needs are often terrified when they hear this sound.
What is that? What do I do? How am I going to get out of here?
When it comes to fire, have a working smoke alarm on every level of your home. Let your fire department and building manager know of your special needs ahead of time, and practice your fire escape plan with others. Plan ahead for a fire emergency. Don't be scared. Be prepared. Fire starts with you. A message from FEMA and the U.S. Fire Administration.
Osteoporosis and low bone mass are estimated to be a major public health threat for almost 44 million U.S. women and men 50 and older. I'm Marjorie McGinn, President and Executive Director of Women in Government. You're never too old or too young to improve the health of your bones, especially postmenopausal women and people with low bone density or osteopenia. Talk to your healthcare provider and know your bones. Visit womeningovernment.org.
Funding provided by Novartis Pharmaceuticals.
What you doing, Yogi?
Oh, protecting myself from the sun. I'm smarter than the average bear.
Ouch! I'll help you, Yogi.
Like how, boo-boo?
Use sunblock SPF 15 or more on your face.
Check.
Your chest, back, and arms, too.
Check.
And cover yourself.
Double check.
Wear a hat and sunglasses.
Now I'm a shining example of how to beat the sun's rays.
So remember,
wear a squirt and a shirt so the sun won't hurt. Yay!
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
You're listening to the Conservative Underground. I'm Doc Wythe here, your host. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. The handle's simple, Doc Wythe, W-Y-T-H-E. And let me just say, for all of you who live in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you need to get engaged and prevent Terry McAuliffe from being elected governor. This guy's out there. He's not even going to read the bills, as he says. He's going to hire people to read them for them. This guy's bad news. He's a Clinton crony. We'll be right back.
Trying to find somebody else to buy the house.
You don't call that crooked? No, that's looking out for number one.
Where does that place Henry Jefferson?
He's number two. Why is he number two? Because, meathead, there can only be one number one and one number two. And life made Jefferson number two long before I come along.
So I suppose that the Puerto Ricans are number three, then?
Well, no, not necessarily there, little girl. Your Puerto Ricans could be four. Your Japs and your Chins could be three. 3A, 3B.
Perhaps the most liberal state in the union is Hawaii. More than a million Americans live there. Hawaii has the fourth highest homeless rate in the USA. It ranks number one in food stamps. Its debt approaching $10 billion, money it will never be able to pay back. 39% of Hawaiians describe themselves as non-religious. Prostitution and drug use, widely accepted in the islands. The individual state income tax rate, the highest in the country at 11%. If you are an underage girl in Hawaii, you can get an abortion without telling your parents. And if you rape a child in the Aloha State, the mandatory prison sentence is an unbelievable 2 years. Hawaii will not pass Jessica's law to correct that appalling situation.
Hi, Jimmy Z here, inviting you to listen to The Jimmy Z Show at thejimmyzshow.com. Conservative politics with humor, irreverence, and colored by my Christian faith. On demand, 24-7 with new shows every Monday through Friday. The Jimmy Z Show, hated by the left for all the right reasons. Tune in anytime, day or night, at thejimmyzshow.com.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Conservative Underground Show. Doc Wythe here, final segment. You know, that was for those of you in King County, Washington, that may not be watching Fox News, that was Bill O'Reilly outlining the liberal panacea in Hawaii and its casualties, the results of unchecked liberalism. And make no mistake about it, in several states in this country, Hawaii being one here, all issues of the day, all problems are debated in the platform of the Democrat Party. And look at the result. There was a tweet that went out by this group that's called Kansas City Democrats or Kansas Blue or something like that. Obviously, some sort of affiliate or extension of the Kansas Democrat Party, liberal activist group. And they're endorsing or promoting the candidacy of some guy who's a Democrat who's going to take on Sam Brownback for the governorship next year. And the guy's campaign is called Turn Kansas Around. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard any news, read any news, that suggests that Kansas is in some state of disrepair, that there's some sort of major economic crisis or financial crisis that has befallen the state in the last 4 years or so under this governor, Sam Brownback, by all accounts, a good conservative, or at least is governed that way, at least by my accounts. And in any event, Kansas Democrats are out there, liberals are saying, we got to turn Kansas around. And I sat there and I thought, wait a minute, Bill O'Reilly is talking about the state that Hawaii is in. California is broke, being overrun by illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. Illinois is broke. The pension systems are belly up. New York is going through some financial issues. The city of Detroit's bankrupt. And here is all of those instances are run by Democrats, liberals, liberal philosophy, Democrat governance. And here are a group of people in a state that, by all accounts, is doing okay, and they want to turn it around. Turn around to what? Turn it around to some of these other states that have been run by Democrats and liberal politicians for decades? States that are spending beyond their means? States that have made promises to public sector workers for pension and health care benefits that can't possibly be lived up to without massive tax increases on the American on the people of their state? Incredible. Over at Drudge Report, there's some interesting headlines that have flashed up here. This is Obama America, ladies and gentlemen. According to the United States Census, Americans in poverty has jumped up to a record 46.5 million people. From 6.6 million to 46.5 million in 10 years. Now, I don't know if that's because we screw around with what's considered to be poverty and that figure, that income level for single people or families of two, three, or four, or whatever. But that's what the census is saying. That's an incredible jump. Certainly don't doubt that people have had a tough go of it recently, mostly under this president and liberal policies since 2007, since they've had a voice in Congress. But this is a result of those policies. When's enough enough? When is enough going to be enough for the American people? There's a record number of people on the food stamps rolls, as a matter of fact, and that number outnumbers the entire population of northeastern United States. There are more people on food stamps right now in the United States than live in the entire northeastern United States, and that includes New York City. So this is Obamanomics. This is why we need to defund Obamacare, because we already have a strong enough a negative strain on our country's finances through existing entitlement programs, through necessary government spending on defense, The last thing we need to do is ramp it up with another entitlement program. We talked about on this show the impact of Obamacare on all sorts of Americans. Talked about the impact of Obamacare on the uninsured, on families, on seniors, doctors, states, businesses. Oh, it's all not good. You can go over to the Heritage Foundation and find these documents. They had a defund Obamacare tour traveling the United States. I had an opportunity to attend one of the rallies, favorably impressed. And I got to tell you, as we move forward in the next couple of weeks, and you listen to a president and an administration promote an agenda that cannot be trusted and that has failed us at every turn for the last 4.5 years, with record number of Americans now in poverty, record number of Americans on food stamps, record unemployment, a record low workforce participation rate, skyrocketing deficits, an economic growth that's in malaise, gas prices have been over $3 a gallon for 1,000 days. The AAA CEO is out there saying that it'll never be below $3 a gallon again. Probably the new norm by this time next year will be $4 a gallon. Traditionally, the tipping point. I don't know how people are making it out there on part-time work because of Obamacare. People are cutting back on hours, not hiring new employees. So as we begin this debate on increasing the debt limit and passing a continuing budget resolution, we have to not fund Obamacare. That's the priority, because we can't afford it. And continuing these failed policies of the Obama administration and Obamanomics and of liberal Democrat politicians in this country who seek to impose upon us a soft tyranny of socialism without us even knowing it, and by the time we do, it'll be too late, has to be stopped. And this is where we draw the line. This is where we draw the line. We can't be distracted. We can't be discouraged. We have to continue on this and keep the fight up, because it's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. And when rhino politicians, when consultants like Karl Rove stand up and say, well, this isn't the smart thing to do, remind them and remind yourselves of what will happen if we do nothing, if we continue to play the political game in Washington, D.C. I don't know if we need to write a new chapter in American history and, you know, sort of invigorate with grassroots America a new spirit of an American revolution, not one with guns, but where we fight with votes and organization and through the political process. Maybe it's time. Maybe we use that momentum from the Tea Party to create a new American revolution, a new chapter. How about this, a new chapter in the American revolution? Because in some respects, the original American Revolution hasn't ended. The American Revolution, what makes America exceptional among nations around the world, is that we believe in individual liberty and personal freedom, these God-given rights, and a balance between those rights and the role of government. This country recognizes that. So maybe it's more accurately put, a new chapter in the ongoing American Revolution. That constant and continuous struggle between man to remain free as he was intended to be from an oppressive government or oppressive rulers. People living on Main Street USA, all across this country, ladies and gentlemen, are saying that we love this land and we are not going to give up our American dream. So the time is now. We were told for decades that we had to spend all of this money that we've had to raise taxes to support the spending, that people had to pay a little bit more, pay their fair share. We've pitted classes of people against each other in order to raise more money. The definition of rich has gone further and further down the income level to incorporate more taxpayers because it costs more money to continue the perpetual cycle of government dependency and entitlement programs. And we're told all of this is necessary. We're told it's necessary for government to live beyond its means and to promise the world to people because it's fair and compassionate. Well, as we are beginning to find out, ladies and gentlemen, fairness and compassion simply was a disguise for government control. It meant federal government, more federal government control, less local government control. We the people have now lost control over our communities. Our school boards, our things that should be handled at the local level are now being taken up by bureaucrats in the federal government. Working people all across this country, you know, truck drivers, cabbies, factory workers, salesmen, saleswomen, restaurant workers, service employees, they're being hit by record tax rates, government spending rates. And it's going to be a burden on their children, our children, the next generation. So it's time to stop kidding ourselves. It's time to stop pretending that government could spend like no tomorrow and not hurt anyone. That has, in the process, punished everyone, and the needy most of all among us. I believe that the people have had it, and they're saying enough. And we didn't get to this debt because we tax too little. We got this debt because government spends too much. Perhaps maybe we need a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution and to make it law of the land. Perhaps maybe it's time for that. Maybe that's the conversation that a lot of people in Washington, D.C. don't want to have as we debate whether or not to raise the debt ceiling again. We're going to continue to raise this debt ceiling time after time after time. It used to be something that only happened once every few years. Now it's happening multiple times in a presidential term, sometimes multiple times within a year. The last time we raised the debt ceiling, it was a part of the cut, cap, and imbalance debate in the summer of 2011. And if we raised it that one time there in 2011, then we'll get our spending under control. Well, here we are, a year and a half later. Actually, 2 years later, and we've raised it once already since then, as I'm reminded. Nothing's changed. They don't get it. And the people are saying enough. All across this fruited plains, people are saying enough. And the Tea Party people, the grassroots Americans, Republican and Democrat alike, who believe that this is government spending too much money, have a right to be upset. They have a right to be upset at the people of both parties that went to Washington, D.C. and let us down. Maybe we need a balanced budget amendment. The president's out there saying, well, I'm not going to negotiate on the debt ceiling. Well, of course he's not going to negotiate on the debt ceiling. That puts him in a very tough spot. Where do you go? You know, then there's people out there, the elitists. People out there that who resent Americans like you and I from getting involved in the serious business of debating whether or not a debt ceiling should be increased, debating publicly and holding people accountable to their positions on government spending and taxation and changing our Constitution. But remember, our Constitution was written to protect, it was not written to protect the government from the people. It was written to protect the people from the government. And this is a great system that we have, and we're trying to fight to preserve it. A system which has created a greater outpouring of wealth in all of history, distributed that wealth more widely among the people than anywhere else in the world, And it's time to get government back within its means and get people back to work and quit fooling around with these theories and philosophies that have been proven to be failures in the past. Those in Congress need to be reminded that the Constitution says we the people. We the people. Not, we the bureaucrat, or we the central state, or anything else for that matter. All right, folks, actually, I just took a look at the time here. That is all the time that we have here.
The party's over. They say that all good things must end.
It's all the time that we have on this broadcast. As always, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. And may the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands and tell a friend to tell a friend about the Conservative Underground Show, Saving the Republic, one podcast at a time.